Good morning. Let's turn to Luke 14. Last week, we discussed the parable of the wedding feast. There's actually two parables in there. And we're going to look at the second one today. We talked about that foundational grace of humility in the Christian's life. Humility being that soil from which all other graces grow. And that grace, which enables us to live actually a joyful life, not chained to our self-serving desires, but to God's will, in a right recognition of His sovereign saving hand by which we find the position of lowliness to actually be the most blessed one. So today, let's look at the second part of the parable, Luke 14, starting in verse 12. Then He also said to him who invited Him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a great feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Amen. So Jesus continues to teach us humility here. He calls us to look deeply at what directs our hearts and our actions. What comes out of these fingertips from this heart? Our deeds should be performed without a thought of reciprocity. They should be performed instead in a spirit of unselfish love and humility. Now, reciprocity. This is the rule by which our flesh naturally lives. And so children, that's a really big word, isn't it? Reciprocity. What in the world is he saying? Well, it means if I do something nice for you, I kind of expect you'll do something nice for me, right? So children, if I share a toy with you, I expect that you'll share your toy with me, right? That's kind of why I'm sharing my toy, right? So that I get your toy. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus actually says we can share our toys and never worry if we get to have their toy. Because we're sharing our toy, not so we can get their toy, but just because we love them. And accordingly, the redeemed Christian does not walk by the flesh according to the world's rule of reciprocity that just exchanges personal favors for mutual benefit. No, the Christian, in our words and our action that flow out of our hearts, are not to gain something, but they are that we give with no expectation of return. We don't serve to gain something. We serve because we've been served beyond what we could ever repay. For in this parable, we are the poor. We are the maimed. We're the lame. We're the blind whom God has invited to His banquet. This is us. We have been undeservedly invited to the Lord's feast eternally. So with this heart and this identity of who we are and what we've received, our actions and motivations become a living out of the gospel. For freely you have received, freely give. As Romans 15 speaks of this outflow of a grateful heart, therefore receive one another just as Christ has also received us to the glory of God. Yes, our hearts, in right recognition of who we are and what God's done for us, turns our whole life focused to what He's focused on, away from ourselves and to Him and to others. Look, I want you to look at something astounding in this passage, and we were talking about this last night. Listen to this. When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, or relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. Lest. Do you see what he's saying? It's not a good thing to get invited back. What? What is that? Yes, Jesus says, how much greater to store up true treasure in heaven and invite someone that cannot pay you back. Now that's genuine service to our God, because you'll get nothing in return from man. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 5, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors do that. So Christ is saying, yes, invite those like you? Are you rich? Are you the best? Will you only invite the clean people over? The obedient children over? No, Jesus says, don't miss an opportunity to freely give and get nothing in return. Because that's what happened to us. Amen? James 1:27 reminds us of this same sentiment. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You know, when you serve orphans and widows, anybody ever done that? Served an orphan or a widow? You're not doing it for yourself, because you're not going to get anything back. They don't have the means or maybe the strength. You're doing it for God. And that's why James just declares this is walking in faith. This is born out of a heart and mind that's framed rightly in who we are in Christ. We are not our own. We're on a pilgrim path in which we continually decrease and He increases. It's our life to take up our cross and follow Him. It's the soul. It's all of our soul that's been broken, open before God and saying, yes, I'm poor in spirit over my sin. And it's from this humble soil that propels us to love and serve one another with no expectation of return. Because you've grown to see, all of us have grown to see that giving without return is what we're called to. It's a life that's not ours. We live a life that was bought with a price. It's service and love that can only be done in faith. And you see this throughout the Scripture. Romans 12, in honor, give preference to one another. Ephesians 4, bear with one another in love. Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. So it's this mind in this heart of how Christ sees our walk in life. For Christ didn't say this, whatever you did for the best of these my brothers, you did for me. No. It's not how it goes. No, He's going to see what we did for the least of these who have nothing to give back. So it's the question for us today. It's kind of the challenge. It's kind of a heart check. Will you only go and serve and hang out with and talk to the fun, the popular people, the rich, the good looking? Or after this church service is over, will you go and talk to that person that's sitting all alone, looking a little downcast? It's going to take faith. It's going to take humility. So step into it. Maybe we ask ourselves in this time of confession, do we only invite certain families over for hospitality? Are we willing to share with the stranger on the street? Can we humble ourselves in this way? Do we go? Do we look out? Do we seek out the hurting and the poor and the sick? Are we that much better than them? Really? I encourage you to meditate on this parable this week and check your heart. Apply this to your marriage, to your service, to your neighbors, to your community. We have freely received the grace of God. Will we freely give it? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we confess to you that many times our giving and our serving, it's corrupted by self-interest. In the hopes, even sometimes, of favors of return. Oh God, but you gave to us without expectation of return. We can do no favors for you, Lord. But you taught us that love means giving without expectation, and that there's more joy in giving than receiving. Oh Father, we confess this to you now, and we pray that you would strengthen within us, Lord, a true, genuine faith that's not hidden within another agenda. Because we recognize who we are in Christ. We are the broken. We are the poor. We are the lame. We are the maimed. Oh, may we love as you have loved us. And may we give freely as we have received freely the grace of you. We take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.